today we're back at our podcast series, but right now we're starting a new series. It's been a while and I'm back, but today I wanted to talk about the Mexican goddess, witch goddess,
deity.
Her name is Santa Muerte, and she's actually very famous here in Vegas and like every other part of, you know, the States. And I just wanted to speak a few words about who she is and what she does and the seriousness of our young generation not knowing the ramifications of her, of getting into her cult. And today I have Ivan Gonzalez.
Palacios.
And he was actually teaching me about Santa Muerte, and I want him to share his testimony, his story, how he got involved with Santa Muerte and how he got out. So without much delay, Ivan, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Ivan. I'm from Tijuana, and since I'm from Tijuana, I was introduced to La Santa Muerte, because in Tijuana there's a lot of people from all over Mexico because we're on the border. So all my life since I was little, I would see images of La Santa Muerte in like every other person's house. Like some people would have shrines of her, or at botanicas, which are like traditional Mexican, like esoteric shops. So I was always curious about her, but I was also scared of her, because when I was growing up, when I was a child, I was in the drug war of 2006. So a lot of narcos, they worship her. So even though I was curious about her, I was always very scared. But when I was a teenager, since I wasn't around the narco culture anymore, my curiosity kind of took over, and I wanted to study the origins of La Santa Muerte. So she's a syncretized deity of the Aztec goddess Mictlantecuhtli. She's the goddess of the underworld and death. And she was syncretized as a Catholic saint.
I have a question.
Okay.
So when you say she is the goddess of underworld, that means a lot of drug lords, criminals, like rapists, or like, you know, they all worship her, right?
Most of them, yeah.
And the reason why they worship her is because they grant their wishes?
Yeah. She's very accessible. You can ask her for pretty much anything, but you have to give her something in return. So for example, I know a lot of narcos, I don't know if this will do it today, but I know when I was little, they would like pray to her to have their little illegal business thing be successful. Like they would take over neighborhoods. They would pray to her to be successful as they were taking over neighborhoods. And in return, they had to build her like a little shrine by the freeway and stuff like that. They would make sort of like treaties with witches, where they would trade some of the bodies that they were killing, like the people that they were killing. And they would like basically trade body parts, so that they can do witchcraft, devoting, yeah.
So whatever magic that they do is done using people who are evil, who are just dark. So their magic is also dark.
Some people don't realize, like some people just ask for, it's a lot of like vulnerable, desperate people that they find themselves in a dark place. So they kind of go to her as a last resource. So some people, they're victims of their own, the bad place where they are. So they turn to her. Other people, they do use her for evil, but other people don't realize what they're doing. So it's very tricky. She's a trickster.
She's a trickster. That's
yes.
The key word.
Yeah.
And Ivan, would you mind sharing your story about how, you know, your story?
Yeah. So like I said, when I was a teenager, since living in the United States as a minority, people that are not immigrants didn't realize how scary it is and how isolated it feels, even though I live in the Southwest where there's a lot of Mexicans, but it's still difficult to just live your own culture. So I started becoming interested in her, in La Santa Muerte, because I knew that she had an indigenous root and I wanted to study that. So I kind of blindly fell into, I was just attracted to the idea of going back to my indigenous roots. Even though I kind of repressed the thought that she was a corrupted deity, she was corrupted by all the different people mixing their different ideas and religions. And I bought a little statue of her. It was a black one, which is the one that's mostly used for evil spells, but also for protection.
She is portrayed with a scowl? Like a Death Reaper, right?
Yeah.
She looks like a Death Reaper with a skull.
Yeah, so she's a skull. She's a hooded figure. She has like a cloak. And she has a seed, I don't know how you pronounce it, like the thing that they use to cut the grasses in fields.
Yeah.
Which is like the typical Grim Reaper look.
Yeah.
So I bought this statue with the intention of connecting to my roots in a more spiritual level. But as you mentioned this morning, she's very suffocating. So I had this statue in my room, and very quickly my room just felt like a very depressing place. Even though I wasn't depressed anymore at that time, I had actually just gotten out of depression. And then when I bought the statue, I feel like I wasn't depressed, but my bedroom was making me depressed again. So I was even scared of even starting to work with her. I did try like some prayers to her and stuff like that, like light stuff. I didn't do like rituals with her because I was always scared of her. So over time, I kind of tried to ignore this statue. I tried to not look at it, and I was scared of throwing her away because I know that she's like very jealous and strong, and she's very emotional. So I was scared that if I threw her statue away, she would get back at me. So one time I finally decided to have the courage to get her out of my life, because I just needed to breathe because she was suffocating my soul. So I finally threw the statue away, and about a week later my dog died, and she was my childhood dog that I had since I was like 6 years old. She was only 12 years old, so she was old, but I feel like she wasn't too old, especially because the days before she was doing just fine. And then all of a sudden she started getting weaker, like the first day, and then the second day she looked hurt, like she couldn't even move. And then on the third day, my mom and my sister were getting ready, like they were putting on their shoes to take her to the vet on the third day. And as they were getting ready to take her to the vet, she died. And I didn't even want to mention that I threw the statue of La Santa Muerte away just because I didn't want to scare my family. Like, I was getting involved with that type of stuff. And I also felt guilt that I even started working with her, because I kind of felt like it was my fault that my dog died. So it was like I carried that guilt with me. But I guess one positive thing that came with the death of my dog that I love very much is that I finally got La Santa Muerte out of my life. Even though I feel like she had to take that, like, I guess I wouldn't sacrifice anything for her, so she killed for me. So it was a hard lesson that I learned not to mess with her, because she is very accessible. You can just call her and she will respond. She doesn't play any games. She doesn't take her time. She doesn't send like hidden messages that you have to decipher. She's very straight with you.
Yeah.
So you call for her and she will reply. She's very accessible, but very, I don't know, very evil.
You know, I have experienced that myself. Like, we shared our stories, and in the morning I shared how suffocated I felt living in my mother's home because my mother had a shrine for her. And I'm so glad I met you and that you shared your story, because it just goes to prove that people who get into it without knowing how she works is very, this is what will result in what you went through, a loss in their life. So I would love to take this moment to encourage people who are listening to take a moment and like think, you know, messing with a deity who is as evil as day, I mean as night comes, is strictly harmful, not only to you but to everybody around you. So take a minute to take a step back and rethink, because once you get into it, it's going to be so hard to get out of it. And when I was living in my mother's house, I shared my story where like she couldn't even tell the difference between cleanliness and dirt. So it's all part of the depression. It's part of how she keeps her following.
Yeah, she keeps you vulnerable, so you keep coming back to her.
Thank you, that's exactly the word. But since we are running out of time, I would definitely like to take this chance to invite Ivan for a more deeper discussion about Santa Muerte on our next podcast series. But right now, I just want to take a minute and to say a quick prayer, because I do know how strong she is. And, you know, since we are talking about some dark deity, I just want to quickly give a prayer. I hope you don't mind. In the name of Jesus, and I pray in the name of Jesus and in his mighty name, I call for protection by the Holy Spirit, Ivan and myself, for speaking about a deity. We just want to inform people how she works. God, Heavenly Father, if you're listening, I know you are. Please keep us safe and our family and our animals safe from harm. My pets, Ivan's family, Ivan's pets, his whereabouts, whatever he's doing, keep him healthy, keep him safe, keep him happy with no depression, so he can come back and speak about Santa Muerte with us again. In the name of his mighty name and his precious blood, in the name of Jesus, amen. And with that, I want to end the podcast, but keep yourself tuned because we will come back with more information about this. Have a great day, guys.